59. The path to the trailers was clear but clogged with smoke from the main building and the overgrowth. Mike walked the long way around. It was hard on his ribs, but he'd live. He tried to slip the green phone into his back pocket while he walked, but reaching his arm back and up made his ribs flare again. He pushed it into his front pocket instead. It was a bit awkward there, but it would be in his hand again soon enough. Mycroft wouldn't call the number on the phone, but Sherlock would. Really, if Mike was going to be Sherlock now, he'd call the number he'd seen when Roger held up his smartphone after talking to his boss. The ants carried out an image of the screen with "call ended" and the 323 number belonging to Nate. He expected it would be an interesting conversation. The first trailer, Olaf's, was a burned-out, soggy husk. Bob's wasn't much better. Puddles spread around them, soaking into the gravel. His own trailer had lost its roof and part of one wall. That had opened it up enough for everything else to burn. No more futon, no more tablet from Reggie. He'd also lost his clothes and his duffel bag. And all the reports about the door. All the paper copies, anyway. The astroturf between the trailers had burned in some places, melted in others. Water from the fire hoses was pooled up on it. From lawn to swamp in one day. Jamie's trailer had lost its windows in the pressure blast and had a few dark spots where heat had discolored the paint. Sasha's had black walls and broken glass, but looked overall intact. The trailer with the Seraph skeleton, farthest from the main building, looked fine. Jamie stepped out of her trailer, and something burst past her ankles. Tramp raced across the gravel, his tongue waving in the wind, and ran circles around Mike. "He okay?"
"Yeah," she said. "He got out, but he was under my trailer, soaking wet from the hoses. I just finished drying him off."
"Ah." Mike walked closer, and Tramp bounced around him.
"It's where he used to go, you know, before anything happened to him."
Mike nodded.
"I think I just got a job offer."
"From the Indian woman?"
"Yeah, you did too."
"Cool. Doing what?"
"We can talk about it later, but I think you'll be interested."
"Oh, really?"
"Yeah, I'm taking it."
"Just like that?"
"Just like that."
He nodded at the burned-out trailers.
"Everything okay here?"
"It's great," she said. "Know why?"
"Why?"
She waved him inside. He smiled.
"I like where this is going."
"Please, I don't want to hear you crying about your ribs while I'm trying to use you for my own filthy needs."
He laughed and winced as his ribs stretched and contracted. She helped him up the steps into the trailer. There was a lot of broken glass, but several clean spots. There was some water, but none of it seemed to be on computer components.
"What am I looking at?"
She beamed and pointed behind him.
Mike didn't see it at first. There were so many differences that it took pattern recognition almost 4 seconds to isolate the ball of fur on top of the bookshelf.
Glitch yawned, showing off a mouthful of white teeth, stretched out his paws, and then settled into a new position. Mike grinned.
"Holy crap," he said.
She laughed.
"You're not a teacher anymore, you can swear."
"It's just who I am. Deal with it."
"So if the door's shut down, and they're both here,"
she said,
"is this permanent?"
"I think so."
"And Sasha? Sasha's?"
He smirked.
"Yeah, that's going to be a bit weird for them. Her."
"And us?"
"Us?"
She wrapped her arms around him, careful not to put pressure on his ribs.
"Where does this leave us?"
"How do you mean?"
From his bookshelf perch, Glitch glared down at the canine intruder. Tramp bounced back and forth across the floor, eager for his new playmate to come down. The cat hissed at him.
"You're not the Mike I fell for,"
said Jamie.
"I'm not the woman you fell for. Is it still going to work for us?"
"I hope so."
"How do I know you've got the same quirks I liked? The same laugh? The same annoying tendency to spout off information?"
"I'm annoying in every reality, honest."
She laughed.
"The important clue, of course, is the chocolate croissant."
Jamie looked up at him.
"Okay, I take it back. You lost me."
"They started bringing croissants for me the day after you crosswalked. But you ordered them the day before that."
"Yeah, so?"
"So she ordered them, too. The other you."
A slow smile spread across her face as her arms tightened around his waist. He winced.
Mr. Erickson, are you trying to imply that I fall for you in every possible reality?
I can only tell you there are a lot of parallels. Tramp barked again, and Glitch sent a paperback tumbling down at the small dog. He yipped at the acknowledgement and bounced some more.
So now what?
Asked Jamie. He kissed her on the forehead. We save what we can. We go check on Arthur. And then...
And then?
We keep getting to know each other.
This has been an Audible Studios production of The Fold. Written by Peter Klines. Performed by Ray Porter. Producer, Mike Charzuk. Copyright 2015 by Peter Klines. Production copyright 2015 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
This audiobook production was distributed by Brilliance Audio. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. And please visit Audible at www.audible.com to discover over 150,000 titles available for download. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan 49417.